Perkavality. We spoke about Asar Bateves. Asar Bateves is when Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded. Happy birthday to you. Is it your birthday?
Asar Bateves.
Asar Bateves. Asar Bateves, Nebuchadnezzar came. That's when Nebuchadnezzar saw the dam of Zechariah, the blood of Zechariah that was boiling in the base of Mitzvah. We talked about that for a little bit. Now we're going to get into the fact that his wife passed away while in the midst of this. So let's start with Tezvah over here. Behold, I am taking from you the beauty of your eyes, Magefa, in a plague. Your wife is going to die in a plague. This is where we learn almost all of our minhagim when it comes to Avelos in the third part of the Cotton. Both, I should say it that way. I don't know which ones of these are Dilrais and Durabbanan and which are actual minhagim. That I don't know. We'd have to look up each one. But we learn what to do from what Yechezkel did. And some of them might have been halachal emotion yisinais, but lo sisbot, you cannot give a hesped. So we see that when somebody normally dies, you got to give a hesped. Lo sifki, you're not allowed to cry. Normally we cry.
Well, isn't that more of an emotional thing? I mean,
agreed. But there is a chiyuv to spend time, like thinking about the mace, etc. Lo sabu dimatzachad, do not allow your tears to come out. It's the same thing as crying, I guess. Heanek dom nasim.
I guess if you mahari cross, lo tesi dimatzachad menachem. Meaning don't let tears come, meaning to make us could cry without tears. They had tears fall without crying. Is
okay,
that,
sadness, I guess. Yeah, right. Something like that. Anyway, but Heanek dom mason, be silent for the dead. Avo lo sasa, you should not do avelos, and that avelos I would assume is the 7 days. Pe'erko chavashalacha, keep your tefillin upon your head. From there we learn that an avel normally does not put on tefillin, although our minig today is that the avel does put on tefillin.
Doesn't it depend if the mace buried...
Well, that's an oning. That's not
not an oning. Meaning if somebody, let's say the person died and buried the same day, that whole day he doesn't put on tefillin, but if the person's buried the following day, that
is correct, but that's for a different reason. It's because then Ninos lasts until the night.
Really?
Ninos Yom, yeah. You can put on tefillin before the day is up, but I think the minute is if they bury that day.
I remember when my grandfather passed away, he passed away on Shabbos. He was buried Sunday morning in Israel, and my dad was still here, and the rabbi told him to put on tefillin without a bracha that Sunday morning.
I don't know. But it could be because... I don't know.
That people operate by different rules anyway.
Yeah, could be a sort of different law. Oh, wait, he's not an Oni.
Yeah,
that's correct. He's not an Oni.
Right, but it's the first day of Shiva. So he told him to put on without a bracha.
I don't know. I think that is the correct psak. That makes sense, actually. I don't know anything about Avelos. I'm not pretty sure about that. But yeah, wear your leather shoes, he told Yechezkel. You should not wear this like cloak that you put up until your upper lip. I guess that was something they used to wear. They covered their faces. You should not eat other people's bread. That's called the Sudas Habara, where they bring you food and you eat from other people. Do not do any of that.
It's all for the purpose of what?
To show that you're not going to sit in Avelos for your own wife that passed away because of all the sadness that's going to be for Klal Yisrael. He's going to say what's going to be. I spoke to the people that morning and told them what was going to happen. But my wife passed away that evening. And I did. The next morning, everything that I was commanded to do, I did not act as if I was an avel. Tell us, what are you doing? He was, again, Yechezkel was a well-known Talmud Chacham and a person of huge stature in Klal Yisrael. So what are you doing? They knew he was an avel. This is the word of God to me. This is what Hashem says. I am going to profane. I'm going to take away my base of Mikdash, the pride of your strength. The beauty of your eyes, and the chumel, the pity of your souls, I guess you can call it, your sons and your daughters that you have forsaken by the sword, Yipolu, they will fall by that sword, and you will do like I will do. You will not eat other people's bread, you will not cover up your face. Your children will be under your head, your leather shoes will be under your feet, you will not mourn, you will not cry, your sins will knock you down, so to speak, and everybody will just groan from one to the other. And the idea is that there's no one to be menachem you. Once this happens, and it's going to happen, you're just going to be around the Chazdeans even further.
This is nuts.
What do you mean?
This is like the ultimate sacrifice. Yechezkel didn't sign up for that.
No.
Yirmiyah was told you're going to get lambasted in the marketplace, you got to go out there, you got to deal with it.
Well, hold on. He did have the line, remember, on Perek Beis. He did say that, I don't want to do this. He was worried about what he was. He was willing to eat the safer that he was doing. That showed him that there was going to be pain and bad things that everybody used to.
This is another level.
This is a terrible level.
Maybe his wife was going to die anyway, so he told him to do it to a sign for the rest of the
year. Yeah, it does say in a plague, so it does seem like people were dying at the time. But nonetheless, he said, nonetheless, their wife passed away. I'm sorry? It's not get ready to show them what's going to be. That when this happens to you with the Beis HaMikdash, you're also going to have this.
Then you should also have this right now.
And yes.
So any of your spouses die?
No, just for him. Just for him. Nobody else is going to do this.
That's some half-assed thing.
Literally.
Right now, that's what you're going
to. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to feel it, and you won't be able to mourn it. You won't be able to mourn it.
It's deliberate.
No, it does. It does.
It's like Lokiach Mimsal, like God is.
Yeah, but it's a bit of it was going to be anyway. But I mean, every time
it's a bit of a power. It is. No, it's a bit of a power. It's a. But that is.
This is kind of like it reminds me, like, of thinking about the Holocaust. You know, people died. Nobody had time to sit. Nobody did anything.
It was just like very good, very similar.
People had gone through their lives, even though they were torn apart.
Very, very similar. I think
there was so much confusion, everything. People couldn't.
There was something there. I will tell you, the one thing that comes out from this is obviously it's consolation only for his wife, not for him himself. But the fact that we learn all of our Hilchos Avelos from Yecheskel's wife passing away is an unbelievable skill for her. Every time we mention Hilchos Avelos, we say we get that from Yecheskel mourning from his wife. Not mourning for his wife, so that becomes a schus for her, which is good for her. Oh, so obviously, everything. This is where we get it from. You know, there's a bunch of things that we learn from Yecheskel. We haven't gotten to it yet, but soon we're going to see that's going to be. It does not talk about the 7 days. The 7 days of Shiva is a big question of whether that's the right to draw. There's a big Shiva what the 7 days is. Where we get it from, what we do with it, is it from Eel the day? There's a lot of different things about what the 7 days are. It's a Shiva. That's a Shiva. But nonetheless, right? It seems clear that Yecheskel is being told to do something which was nearly impossible for any human being to do. But Yecheskel lacham lamofes kichol asher asa tasu. Yecheskel is now the sign for everyone. Whatever he does, you do. Bevo'ah, when you see it come, v'yedatam kinei Hashem elokim, you'll know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu when this happens. Again, this is a few years before the Beis Medrash was destroyed. Atzav ben Adam. Well, I shouldn't say that. It could be that Atzar B'Tevis has already happened. So that means it's within 2 years of when the Beis Medrash is going to be destroyed. But either way, the Atzav ben Adam. When I take from them their strength.
Atzar B'Tevis? This happened on the Atzar B'Tevis, like the date of the...
Well, it doesn't say the date. I don't want to guess on that.
No, I'm saying the Atzar B'Tevis is the beginning of the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's this is when his wife was going to pass away. Seems like it might have been a different day. That's when Adam will be on Kafim Amos Muzum, when I took their strength and Mesos Tibartum, their splendor and their happiness, as Machmed Einehem, the beauty of their eyes in front of the basement, as Masa Napsham, and what their souls carry, Benem Venosam, their sons and their daughters, Yomahu Yabo Apollit Elekalash Moses Nayim. On that day, the Pollit, the person who escaped the war, will come to you to let everybody hear. Now, the Pollit, right, reverse the Og, he's the one that escaped the wars from before. The Pollit does not refer to anybody in particular here that I remember. Does anybody see anything over here that refers to Apollit? It just says Apollit. I don't think there's anybody else in that. Mari Kara just says that. And the Malbin, nothing. Okay, just somebody's going to come, right, to let you know. That day, Pasukov Zayin, Pasach Picha as Apollit, you will open up your mouth to the Pollit, together with him. Oh, you will speak, you will not be mute again. You will be for them a sign. They'll all know that I am a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When they hear that the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, they'll know that this is what happened, and it's going to be sad for everybody, but that's what it is. Now, we are now starting a brand new part of Yecheskel. These first 24 prakim, we're all dealing with his vision, seeing all the beginning of the nevuos, telling them what's going to be, etc., etc. For the next, altogether, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 prakim, the 8 prakim are dealing with the other nations around that Nebuchadnezzar is going to capture, the same way that Yirmiah did this as well, and Yeshaya for a little bit. Yecheskel also speaks about the other nations, not to them, but to Bnei Yisrael, telling them what's going to be to all nations around. We're going to see what happens to Ammon, Moab, Edom, the Plishtim. Tzur is going to be gone. Mitzrayim is going to take a couple, and Chira, Melech, Tzur.
How do you compare what he says about these nations to what Yirmiah says about these nations?
Yirmiah was speaking to the nations specifically. It was to speak to them. That's why I said, lit, Edom, lit,
so
whatever
like
it is.
Speaking to her.
Either him, or he let them know. Remember, there were messages that were sent. I don't know which one it was, but that was by Yirmiah. Yecheskel is still in Bavel, telling it over to the people, but telling them what's happening to all the people around. they saw that there was no power in the nations around. Don't think that Hashem is against us. Hashem was really destroying all the nations around with the Bodhisattva. So nobody should think that there's any power on anyone. So he's talking about a little bit shorter. Yidvar Hashem Elai, Lemor, Pasuk Aleph, Perekhaf Hei. Ben Adam, Simpon Echal Bnei Amon, go put your face upon Bnei Amon, and just pay attention to them. Minavi Aleim, prophesy about them. V'marfu Bnei Amon, and you will say about the Bnei Amon, Shimud Var Hashem Elokim, Kol Mar Hashem Elokim, Yan Omreich Ha'och El Mikdashi Kinachol. Because you said Ha'och, like, oh my gosh, is that how they translate it in English?
Oh my gosh.
Is that what it is? Like, how is it? Like, how is it?
Alas, hurrah.
Oh, hurrah, the opposite. Oh, El Mikdashi Kinichol. When you saw that my Beis HaMikdash was inherited by others and given over to others. El Admin Sol Kinosham, and you saw that the land of Bnei Yisrael was destroyed. El Beis Yehuda Kiyol HaBagolos, you saw that all the Bnei Yehuda were going in Golos. Then you know stuff with Bnei Kedem LaRasha. Therefore, I am going to put you among the Bnei Kedem as an inheritance. In other words, the people of the East refers to the Yishma'ilim. The Yishvu Tiroseim Bach, right, their powers, or their power, I guess you can say, is going to be within you. But they will put upon you their mishkanos, in other words, their dwelling places. They will eat your fruit. They will drink of your fattened foods, fattened drinks. Vanasatias Rabba Linvei. I will make Rabba, Rabba's Bnei Amon. What? The milk? Okay, so that's okay also. Right? Nasatias Rabba. Right? Rabba is Rabba's Bnei Amon. That's where the crib of Og was.
Linvei Gamal. It's not Rabba.
It's Rabba's Bnei Amon. Rabba's Bnei Amon.
Right.
Yeah, so here he calls Rabba. I think it's the same thing, right? I mean, that's what it's translated as. That's what it's translated as in the Targum.
Rabba.
Here on the Lucha. Yeah.
In Durga, where?
Oh, I'm sorry. He said Rabba, which means he didn't translate into Aramaic, right? That's a big thing. And then the Radak said here on the Lucha. It is. It's referring to Rabba's Bnei Amon. But in Linevei Gamalim, it's going to be an abode for camels. It's Bnei Amon, Lemir Batzon, and the people of Ammon are going to be. It's going to be an area filled with where sheep are going to be able to be. That's the Hashem. You'll know that. Hashem posuk book. He chol Hashem lekin. Yad mach acha yad, barak acha berogel. Because you like slapped your hand and like stamped your foot, but tismach the whole. And you just were so happy and you let everything out. I'll add my soul about the land of Israel. Therefore, I'm putting my hand upon you. I'm going to make you, Levaz is just, you know, made fun of by the other nations.
Scorned.
Scorned. That's good. You know, spoiled, okay. I'll cut you off from the nation. I'll make you lost. They're just like all the other nations. I'm going to open up the shoulders of Moab from the cities, from the city, from his big cities, from all of the ends. Svi Eretz, even the beauty of the land. Yeah, that's right. Beis HaYeshimos, that land called Beis HaYeshimos, Baal Ma'on, the Kiryas Soima, right? All those areas. Interesting, by the way, because Baal Ma'on was a city that was actually taken over by Menashe. It must have been taken over by Moab again later. Bnei Kedem al Bnei Amon. The same way the Bnei Kedem came to the Amon is Atila Marasha Laman Lo Tzizach Bnei Amon Bagayim, so that they shouldn't remember. With a Moab that says Shvatim, the other Kine Hashem, I'm going to put judgments upon them and they'll know that I'm a God. Now we go to Edom. Bin Kom Nakom LeBeis Yudah, when they wanted to take revenge against Beis Yudah, Be'ashem Lashom, they were guilty of Nikmu Bahem, they took their revenge against Lachin, Kom Hashem Lachim. Now we don't know exactly what that is, by the way. What was this revenge they took against them? Maybe they plundered, maybe they went against the south, the southern people there. So either way, Lachin Komar Hashem Lachin, but Atzizi Yadi Al Adam Yichrati Mera Adam with him. I'm going to cut off the men and the animals. There's a Tiachor Bami Teiman Udidonne. Right, I'm going to take them out of Teiman and Don Didon. I think that's the word. Nachar Yipolu, they're going to fall by the sword. Menasati is also the Adam Yadam Yisrov, also the Adam Kafi Yichamasi. I'm going to do like my anger of Yadu is Nivasinu Hashem Lachin, and they'll know my wrath, my vengeance. Kol Hashem Lachin Yana says Pleishim is impossible to Tzvav Benikamo, because they wanted to take revenge. Nachmu Nachum Bishat. As a destroyer and with a hatred forever. As a side note, by the way, most of the Plishtim were gone by the times of Sennacherib. So whoever the nation was that was put in the Plishtim's land was probably not the Plishtim that was there from old that fought against Shlomo and David HaMelech.
Plishtim until Nebuchadnezzar came and just destroyed everything.
The Herib, supposedly. I mean, the Bilbo Kolaratzos.
Right, but does it say that he specifically went to Plishtim and he missed everybody?
It does say that everyone around except for Yerushalayim. I don't know if it says it about it because we don't know much about Sanherib or what he did and what his thing was. But we do have Diyukim in the Psukim that he was Bilbo Kolaratzos. The wording of Bilbo Kolaratzos is what he did. And the Plishtim are not supposed to be the same person. But let's assume that it's either the remnants of the nation or people that returned or the people that took over that land. Either way, I'm going to cut them off completely. And all the remnants of the people on the banks of the sea, obviously in the Mediterranean, because they were in the eastern bank of the Mediterranean, all of them, I'm going to put my revenge against them. So that's that.
There could have been much less of those people, because isn't that the Gaza we're talking about? That was the gateway. That was the gateway to Mitzrayim.
Exactly.
Everybody was going back and forth.
Nebuchadnezzar, without a question, fought them. And Sanherib, remember, the first time Sanherib fought in Israel, he went to go destroy the Egyptians and then came back. Exactly. So Parnacho also came up that way by Yoshia. You'd have to assume.
Really found. They just.
I just saw. There was a
Iron Gates of God.
Yeah. Yeah, where they say they claim that what's his name came through. That Goliath was able to come through. Goliath. I still want them to find something that shows that Goliath was a freak of a human being. I don't care. A freak. I just want the freak. Yeah. That the way they say it is that Og, had a weird shaped body. I'd love to see. I want it to be so simple that when you hit somebody with a slingshot, it normally wouldn't hurt them. But a guy of his size with that armor had no ability to defend himself. It was a scare tactic. Nobody wanted to fight him because he was like Andre the Giant. But Hulk Hogan could beat Andre the Giant.
The Undertaker.
That you could beat him. He's so big, I always thought that way. That he's too big of a freak. Anyway, Chafav Aleph. Vayiba Asher Esrei Shana Ve'Eklach Hashem. I'm going to try this way. I love a shalom. All right, Vayiba Asher Esrei Shana Ve'Eklach Hashem. We're not going to talk about Tzur, right? And we're going to talk about the islands of the sea. Vayiba Asher Esrei Shana Ve'Eklach Hashem. In the 11th month, first of the month. Hadar Shana Ve'Lemor. The 11th year of Ve'Eklach Hashem, the first of the month.
That's right.
Vayiba says, Lutzit Yahu. Back in the Chodesh, the Chodesh HaMishi, it says. This is in the Shnas HaChurban, right? Kain Ha'is of the Chodesh HaChurban, and that's why it says back in the Chodesh, we don't want to mention the month, but it's the first of Av.
The beginning of 9 days.
Here it says, the month is not specified. According to a respondent of Rashi, it was Tishrei, the beginning of the year. According to Radak, since it was the year of the destruction, this was the month of Av.
That's what the Radak and the Mitzudas David both say. Just going to check over here a little bit. Here is the Chodesh Elo O Tishrei. Achara Chorban, Shesamchu Al Chorban. That's what the Malvus says.
New month after.
Yeah, the new month afterward. Interesting. Either way, Ben Adam. So he said Ben Adam, Yanisher Omra Tzur Al Yerushalayim Ha'och. Because Tyre started to make fun of Yerushalayim. Nishba Dals the Amim, Naseba Eloi, Imolach Harava. He says, all the doors of the Amim are gone. They're broken. Naseba Eloi. They're going to turn to me now. I'm going to fulfill that which is destroyed. In other words, now that Eretz Yisrael is gone, now I'm going to be in charge. I'm upon you, Tzor. I'm going to bring many nations upon you.
The biggest empire right now is Babel. They've destroyed everyone.
Maybe they needed him because Tzor was the big ship place, right? That's where all the ships went out for trade.
Right.
So maybe Babel needed him because Babel had no ability to send out.
Be second fiddle to Babel. He would be a vassal. He'd be used.
It could also be that a lot of people did not. They weren't Machshid Babel. They figured they were marauders, just like Attila the Hun or something like that. He never really had a nation, so to speak. He was just a destroyer. Maybe they felt the same way about Nebuchadnezzar until they saw the wrath of his sword themselves, the wrath of Khan, right? Khan was the Yom Megalov, the same way that the sea goes up with its waves. They're going to see it like that. They're going to destroy the walls of Tzor. They're going to knock down all of its towers. I'm going to remove all of its dirt from it. It's as if even the dirt is going to be gone, but it's not just all it's chiyach. So I'm going to bring it down to just a barren rock. Mishtach haram tiyabisochayam, just an area of nets are going to be put out to sea. Kenny Devarzi no Masham Olkim. What does that mean exactly? What is that? I will sell you to what the yogim is charmi machmorosom.
She will be a spreading place for nets in the midst of the sea.
What does that mean? What are we referring to over here? oh, Rashi said, Mitzudas David said, no longer are the boats going to come, and the different things, all you're going to do is spread out the nets, because there's nothing left to trade, or the people won't be coming to you anymore. Okay, that makes sense. Everybody's going to make fun of it. All of its the cities that are near the field, the suburbs, are going to be killed. Is this the first time we see the word Nebuchadrezzar in Yechezkel?
Didn't we see it in Yirmiyah?
In Yirmiyah we did. That's why I'm saying Nebuchadrezzar. It is the same person. We still have not seen a good shot as to why Nebuchadnezzar is called Nebuchadrezzar. I don't have a good answer for it, but we saw in Yirmiyah. I don't think we saw Nebuchadrezzar in Yechezkel yet. But either way, it's interesting. Maybe if you know Persian, it's just a simple explanation as to why they known as like a race.
But they didn't speak Persian there.
Whatever was Mede.
Aramaic. No.
No, you think it was Aramaic?
They lived in Babel. Persia is a different country.
No, you're right. It would have been Aramaic.
Was there
a language
Babylonian?
Yeah, Aramaic. It would have been Arami, yeah, whatever the version was. But maybe it's just a simple explanation. From the north, he was the king of kings. He's going to come with his horses, his chariots, and the cavalry. Yeah, this is all in Nebuah. Your daughters are going to be killed in the fields by the sword. Right? They're going to make siege works against you. He's going to pour upon you like mounds of dirt. And they're going to bring the spear upon you, if I remember. I think that's what it is. There's going to be catapults against your walls. Swords are going to knock down your towers. From all the dust of his horses, it's going to cover up all their dust. From the noise of all the cavalry, the galgal, and the wheels, and the chariots, all of your walls are going to be stormed. They're going to come to your gates. As if they're going into a city that was already breached. The parashat Susa of Yirmos is called Kutzosayach. With his horse's hooves, he's going to trample over all of your streets. Amech Bechar Yarog, everybody's going to be killed by the sword. Matzos Uzeich, La'aretz Teireid. And all the strength is going to be brought down to the ground. The spoil of your armies, and they're going to spoil your armies. They're going to plunder all of your merchandise. And knock down your walls. And knock down everything. They'll put all of your stones and your wood and your dirt inside. I'm going to destroy the abundance of your song. You won't even hear your harps anymore. I'm going to make you into a barren rock. You're going to be an area that's spread with nets. It won't be built again. I guess that area will never be built again.
There's a lot of similarity to Masada. Building a ramp.
A ramp? Why
being a rock?
A rock, I hear you say.
And the Romans, they literally built a ramp.
In order to get in.
Yeah.
Right? From the noise of those who are taking you down, they hurry
the Arab tribes. They're sitting in Saudi Arabia waiting for like an hour to come out.
I don't know if they ever had real civilization there for years. You'd have to check somebody who knows history. You know,
some
knows
of them
the history of these people.
Of some of these people, these all people disappeared. And
I
don't know.
You have tons of Bedouins. First of all, Yemen would have been too far away. Right, that would have been too far away for people.
Queen of Sheba was
the middle of Saudi Arabia, yeah, somewhere around that, but that still is too far away from
the
normal people.
Saudi Arabia is a desert.
Saudi Arabia is nothing, right? So you're dealing with people that lived right around. So Jordan would make sense, Syria, Iran, Iraq, those areas. But Saudi Arabia, those
Jordan's
huge
also
desert,
a huge desert. Jordan's nothing. It's a big desert.
But there are areas by the Jordan River. Right. Yeah, by those areas. That's what you'd have. And anybody that was all the way toward the, you know, all the way by the Indian Ocean, it's too far away. Simply put, it would have just been too far away for them to come to. Yeah. How would they get there? Maybe by boat through the Red Sea eventually, but like they wouldn't go through the desert. There's nowhere for them to go. So I would assume they're out of the picture, so to speak. Right? And the people who live in the desert were Bedouins.
No, but eventually all these people were replaced. Like,
yeah, people had to replace them. Yeah, yep. I don't know. And the last part of this puzzle can test well, I'm just not so sure how to translate it. I'm like, call me Mapaltech, those who knocked you down. That Nok Kolo, when they knock down your corpses, is that the wording over there? The Enok in Anocha, the groaning of your corpses, they harig is okay when they killed everything amongst you.
Water
Yerashua
perpetuated.
Perpetuated? that are perpetuated. All right, Yerashua Yim. The islands are affected. Virodimal Kisosim, they're going to go off their thrones. Kol Nisi Ayam, all the princes of the sea, the Asuras Mi'ileim, they're going to take off their cloaks. There's Bigdirik Masim Yikshotu, even their embroidery, they're going to take off. Harodos Yobashu Ala Ored Yeshevu, they're going to be shaken. Right, they're going to be adorned with shaking. They're going to sit down on the ground, bechordu l'rgayim, and they're going to be afraid for time. I don't know how to refer to that l'rgayim. Veshamu alayich, and they're going to be appalled about you. And also alayich kina ba'amulach, they're going to lift up a lamentation. They're going to say about Yehi Chavadatam, Hashem is niyamim. How could it be the person that lived here for so many years? How could it be that these people are now gone? Ayirachu ha'ulava, this pretty city of Shoyza Chazakalayam, that was the strongest of the sea, Tyre, Vivi Yoshvel, Kivi Yoshvel, Shar Nasuchi, Tisalachu Yoshvel, they put fear upon everybody else. Ata Yechadua, Yaha'in, Yoma Paltech, now everybody's afraid, right? And the day, from the day that you fell down, everybody's afraid because you've gone. I guess they're afraid of what's going to be, right? Every day, Ha'im could be the islands over here. But either way, everybody's afraid that now you went down. Now remember, Yirmiyah said about Tyre that they were a very Gaivitic nation, along with Moab as well. Very Gaivitic nation. So maybe that's what they're referring to. I'm going to make you into a city that's destroyed, like cities that were never settled. I'm going to bring upon you the deep, like a tsunami, and many waters will cover you up. Now that's referring to the army, but it's going to seem like a tsunami. I don't know, and we spoke about this before, if a tsunami can literally hit through the Mediterranean Sea. If it's a strong enough sea that has the ability to do that.
Earthquake.
I don't know. Is there something under that goes through in the Mediterranean Sea? Would that happen? Is it strong enough that such a big tsunami could happen? I don't know if it's ever happened before. As your debor, I'm going to bring you down to the people of the pits.
Right.
Al am olam, to a people forever. Right? And I'm going to sit you down in like a lower land in destroyed cities. Olam, as your debor, those who live in the pits. Shady, you will never be settled ever again. And my beauty will be brought back to the living lands, the land of Yerushalayim.
It doesn't have to be tsunami.
No. I'm saying it's for sure remez to the armies that came upon it. I'm saying, but the literal translation of a tsunami, did that actually happen?
No,
were they really covered by water?
When I raised the depths of the sea. Back then, all those people lived by the sea because that's where
that's interesting.
The best land was. All it could have done was a flood.
So the sea was the worst land because you couldn't plant there because it was salt water. It would have been
that's true, but all the trade and all
the trade would have been there, right? They would have had
all
stuff
by
fishing.
By the
fishing
sea,
would have
you
been
live by where you're pumping.
Yeah. So
isn't it attached to something?
What?
The Mediterranean.
Mediterranean is attached to the Atlantic Ocean, so, but because of the Spanish Peninsula, the Spanish Peninsula, well, technically it is a peninsula, Spain, which is so close to North Africa, a major earthquake in the Atlantic Ocean would hit Spain and North Africa more than it would Tyre, which is all the way on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. I know there are fault lines in the Mediterranean Sea, and they say that that's one of the things that if it was in Atlantis, it was inside there. But
the sea levels raised, people got flooded. And
yeah, nobody knows. There's so many. We learned about Atlantis from, I believe it was Plato, who got it from the Egyptian sorcerers, who told him about it and said that it happened 9,000 years beforehand, and people say that he messed up and it really was 900 years beforehand, which had put it around 1500 BCE. So it's possible that it was around, and they say that they were advanced, but what does that mean? 1500 BCE, what does that mean they were advanced? Yeah, I don't know. That I can't tell you. But Kabbalah, it says, Balos et Nech, I will make you into shaking, whatever Nech, and you will no longer be you will be searched for, you will never find anything ever again. Alright, that brings us down to the Parakhov Zion. Let's go. So now we're saying that Tyre, how rich they were and how their resources
are going to have some sort of ramp. They're going to be destroyed by a ramp.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, not a ramp, but it's that they're going
to
climb on it.
The city of Tyre refused to surrender to Alexander the Great, unconditionally surrender to Alexander the Great. And they wouldn't let him enter the city. So he seized the island city for 7 months. And he did what nobody else ever considered possible, using stones, timber, dirt, and debris from the mainland.
Okay.
Alexander constructed a causeway out into the Mediterranean, at last reached the island, breached the city wall, and slew or put into slavery the defiant tyrants. An amazing feat, Tyre was changed forever.
So you're saying this wouldn't be referring to Nebuchadnezzar, so to speak, it would be referring to
later sometime in the future.
What was the whole story, where was the city that that Homer in the Odyssey came from? What was the city that was captured by the horse? What was
that? That was a Peloponnesian war, Troy.
Wow. Troy, that was Troy. Okay, that's not there. Okay, Helen of Troy, that's right. I want you to lift upon Sor. I want you to give a lamentation.
I'm
sorry?
Yiskiel referred to this event long before it happened.
It's interesting. I don't know if it's referring to it. It might be referring to something that Nebuchadnezzar did as well. But either way, are you reading from Wikipedia?
No, Bible archaeology.
That's cute. It sits upon Mavolzium, the entrances of the sea. This is all Akina. In other words, this is just like a song that's given over Tzor. Right? And sad thing of what happened to them. Rokelos Amin, they were the merchandisers of the nations, Al-Im Rabin, with many islands. Tzor at Amart Ani Kalil Asiofi. You said, I am the epitome of beauty. In the heart of the sea was your borders. Your builders, they really encapsulated your beauty. The cypresses from Sinir that were built up for you. All the boards, the cedars from Lebanon, they took lassos, Tored Alayach, to make the mast upon you, obviously. A mast of a ship has to be a piece of wood, one big piece of wood that will never break. It's got to be one big tree. If you have something that's a composite of wood, then the mast does not last very long in the winds of the sea, as you saw from that storm that was last week. Alonimi Bashan Asu Mishotayach, the oaks from Bashan, they made your oars. That's what they used to make the oars. Karshech Asu Shein Beis Ashurim, your rudders were made of ivory from the Ashurim, from the Syrians. Me'ia Kitim, from the islands of the Kitim. Sheish Berikma Mitzrayim, they brought linen and embroidery from Egypt. Hayim Afarshech, that's what you used as your sails, Leos Lach Lenef, you know, to use as poles. Chelz Vargum and Me'ia Alisha, the blue and the purple from the islands of Italy. Hayim Achasech, that's what you used to cover up for tents. It was trying to say how pride-filled their ships were. Beautiful ships. Yoshvei Tzidon Arvad, those who lived in Tzidon and Arvad. What's Arvad? Does it translate anywhere?
It just says Arvad in English.
Does anybody have it in place? Is there any translation? I'm looking around.
In place, no?
It is, definitely. The only here question is where. Do we have
here it just says the professional sailors were natives of Tyre, while the lowly oarsmen were from other nations.
Hmm. Okay, that's that. So either way, Arvad Hayu Shotim Loch Hakamai, they were your sailors, they're your wise men. Tzor Hayu Bach Hemakov Losai. Tzor, they were within you. Hemakov Loyach. They were all of your, like, the Kabarnit, what do they call that? The
captain.
The captain of the ship. Zikne Gval Vachakamai Hayu Bach. The elders of Gval, is that a city over there? Or the builders?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Alright, and all of its wise men you had as well. Machzigabid Kech, they repaired all of your cracks. Kolonios Ayam Lachayan. All the ships of the sea and all their sailors, they were with you. They were guarantors for anything that you wanted. In other words, you owned all of it. Persia, Lud, and Put are both areas in Africa, like Ethiopia and what's that? Libya. Libya is either Put or Lud. I don't remember which one.
Lud is Libya.
Lud. Maybe in Hebrew nowadays. But one of these is the land that's west of Egypt. I don't remember which one.
What are you talking about?
Right around
Aras, all the way up northwest, and then
all these people were your, yeah, they were all part of you, maybe the trade or whatever it was, but they were all there, like Kush is below, and then Lud and Put are something. I don't remember what Put was. Maybe Put was the other one, I don't remember. Either way, regardless, Anshimachamtech, they were the men of your war, mugging the Kovat Tzibubach, the shield and the hat, Tzibubach, they put upon you, right? Hema, Nasu Hadarech, they gave you all of your splendid, you deserve, Ben Erva, the Chilech, Alcham Osayach, Saviv, they were around your walls, all around, in other words, you hired officers from Arvad. The Gamadim Migdol Osayach Hayushotayim, the rulers of the Gamadim, they were in your towers. Tilo Chomasayach Saviv Hema Kalu Yafech. They encaptured, encapsulated all of your beauty. Tarshish.
The Gamadim were dwarfs.
Yeah.
Oh, because Gamad, right, is very small, right?
So they would be stationed as lookouts because they could hide more easily from the enemy.
You know, there were people called Kaftorim. Yeah, Rashi says, Ein and Nasim, they were midgets. Kaftorin, Haboini Kafta, they were very, very small, right? That they were small people. So maybe these were related to those people over there. Anyway, Tarshish Sokartech Merov Kohon, Tarshish, I always forget what it is. We say what it is, and then we forget afterward. Yeah. But what was the city of Tarshish? We spoke about it before.
Sure. Yep, I've read it in real history books. It's Spain.
Yeah, I've read it also. Huh. That's where Jonah wanted to go to avoid going to Nineveh.
He came up with a name. I forgot what the name was. It was like a simple name. Maybe that's where it is. Maybe that's where I have it from. You know what? Look up Jonah really quickly. Where he wanted to go in Tarshish. Maybe it says it over there. I forgot what he said. It's just like, I'm curious to know now that we have it. We'll get to it eventually. But here we go. Jonah. You want to go to Tarshish? Maybe it's in, you know what it might be? Either a distant sea or city.
Father Maple identifies Tarshish to which Jonah flees with the port of Cadiz in Spain, as far by water from Joppa as Jonah could have possibly sailed in ancient days, when the Atlantic was almost unknown.
Do you have anything else? I thought the article, maybe it's the article on Yom Kippur, you know, where you read over Jonah. I think maybe the translation there, maybe he says something over there.
With the pictures, is it like near
it's right water. There. Okay, Tarshish is Spain, and that's that. So let's try to remember next time. Sokar Tev Merov Kohon, that's where your merchandise were. They had so much money. Bekes Barzel Bedil Voltaris Nasuiz Ronech, silver, iron, tin, and lead. They gave Yizom Noyech, right? All of your, whatever you needed, right? All of your, whatever it is. Yavan Tuvav Ameshach Emerov Kohayech, Greece, Tuvav Ameshach are also different areas in around that area. They were all your merchandise. Menachem Adam Bekleina Hoshen Nasum Arabe. They gave people, obviously slaves, right, as well as copper, right, they gave as your guarantees. I mean, Togarma from Togarma, that's another nation. Susam of Russia, they brought horses, they brought cavalries. Uprodim Nasuizonayach, and also mules. Mnei Dedon, Rochlayach, Im Rabim, right, your merchandises of many, many islands. Sokras, Yodeth, Karnos, Shane, they brought ibex horns and ivory. Where was this again? Dedon?
It says ivory tusks and peacocks.
Okay, the next one, the Hovnim, are peacocks.
Ibex.
Karnos are horns, right? Ibex, I said ibex.
It's just the shame. Men of the Dunwee.
Yeshiva Eshkorech, they gave you your gift. Okay, hold on a second. Where are peacocks? Peacocks are, if it's the same peacocks that we have today, right, then they're talking about Africa. That's what it would be.
So only peacocks in Africa?
I've seen them in Israel.
Yeah.
Now they are. I don't think they're indigenous to Israel.
They're
real too. They grew up on
like
too.
Like them wild walking around in Israel. Yeah.
The original peacocks. Oh no, the original peacocks are in India. The big ones, the ones that have those huge, you know, the whatever. Those are all Indian. They're all Indians. They're Indian. What's it called? We're calling them Dudan over here. But it could be it's another type of quail. It's not that big of a deal. But the shame, the ivory, is what's bothering me. If this is India, it makes a lot of sense. It would be shame that they had ivory because they had elephants. They had elephants and they had rhinos. If it's Africa, obviously of the elephants and the rhinos. But only when you get to the savannah. That's far down. That's very, very far down.
It was a big.
They had the Silk Road already.
Did they have it?
Yeah, I'm saying I would think that would be like a big.
I don't know. It's a far walk. Remember, there's no ships to get down. Oh, I guess the Nile River. You could use the Nile River.
You can't get that far down. How far are you going to Sudan? It's about as far as you can go in the Nile.
You can get it from the Sudan. Right by the tree forest, right around that area.
Gold in Israel? Do you think it mined gold in Israel? Probably not, but it worked its way up there.
You know, there is a big question about that, based on last week's parsha, and whether or not, this week's parsha, I'm sorry, and it says, Eretz Asher Kol Bo, it has all the different types of metals.
I think what it has. Makes its way around.
You're right, but gold could be there was by Egypt.
There was
Egypt had such an influx.
To mine every type of metal there?
That's what it seems to be.
They would have a lot of metal mines that we don't know.
That we don't know about, yeah. That we don't know about. Shlomo Melech might have depleted them. That would be the obvious
mining
one.
Uranium ore?
Was that uranium ore? No, but clearly Shlomo Melech had the streets were paved with silver. If you want to, even if it's not literal, nonetheless, that means he had a ton of silver and gold, etc.
Gold, obviously, it's not literal.
No, but they had tons of
El Dorado.
Yeah, there was El Dorado. You saw it though.
No,
you saw El Dorado.
No, my grandpa told me in Europe they would talk about America. He's like the golden of Medina.
No, that's for sure. But nonetheless, no. But that Shlomo Melech had that much money, it could be that he mined everything. to extinction, but let's make the assumption that they imported a lot.
The ivory is not so far-fetched. Things got around.
Yeah, I guess so.
What are you thinking about right now?
He's saying, no, this is not a prophecy. This whole parak is a keynote. It's all lamentation about Tzur. How beautiful and how great it was. None of it.
It's downfall.
And now it's going to be down, right.
How come all these prophecies, though, I mean, it's really about, I guess, I mean, it makes sense, but in some ways you would think that if he's prophesying every nation, he would really cover every nation. There's all the things that are in the geographic region.
Yeah, geographic region. Yes. There would no need to talk
right,
about
no need. It's all around. But like if he's, meaning that if he prophesies about China, then nobody would, America at the time.
I'm going to give you Victor Miller's answer only because I'm in Victor Miller right now. Victor Miller says it all the time. There were tons of nations that were around at the times when the Jews were in the desert. They weren't important. Once a Kaddish Baruch Hu put his attention upon Eretz Yisrael, he only cared about B'nai Yisrael and nothing else, to which the Mishkan and everything else was what really mattered, and everything else was a sideshow. Everything else is sideshow. I know that sounds racist.
So I mean, what happened?
Sideshow.
So how did it affect them?
So then, no, it didn't affect them, meaning there was a whole world going on. But we know nothing about it because that's not what was important.
But we do know a little bit. We know about the things that were peripheral.
And then when we got to the Nevi'im, then we started paying attention to the immediate closer nations because that's where the Jews went. Meaning there were Jews that were in these areas.
All these books are meant for the Jews and the people who were affected by them.
But clearly.
Nowadays, though, everybody's affected.
It's the Word of God. If we're dealing with the Word of God, then you're dealing with things that are close to... it's not just for the Jews, because clearly the Tanakh has been taken by every people.
It hasn't been taken by Eastern religions, and hasn't been taken by Native Americans, to the best of my knowledge.
I would put the number at, 3.5 billion people in the world. Half the people in the world hold by the Bible. That's pretty good.
3.5, I don't know if it goes. Well,
yeah.
There's 2 billion Christians.
Christianity, yeah, claim, yeah, at least.
Who's the other?
It could be more. The Islam.
They believe in the Bible.
I shouldn't say they believe in the Bible. They have their version, and they still understand that it's a prophecy. They believe in our prophets. So you couldn't depict Yechezkel, so to speak. Like Yechezkel would still be a prophet in their mind. Anyway, it's a good question, though. I don't have a full answer. But anyway, Aram Sokhatech was the officials, right?
The officials. Well, those are like the chain.
I don't know. Aram Sokhatech Merub Masayech. Aram, these are the Aramians. They are from all of your deeds. They had everything. They gave carbuncles. Don't look up the word carbuncle, by the way. It's also a different type. It's a disease that goes to your skin. So there is a gem that is known as a carbuncle. Argumen is pure purple wool, or the ability to make it, and embroidery. Boots for rumais. The kakot nasu bizonayach. And boots is linen. I don't know why that's different from the sheesh that we mentioned up above. Precious stones and pearls.
Coral, yeah.
Which one? Cut code?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's not the word that the Gemara uses for coral.
Coral?
Yeah, look around. Look at the Targum, everybody. Targum says Margolin. Margolin is for sure pearls. Now, even though coral also comes from the sea, just like pearls do, nonetheless, that is not referring to the same thing as what it refers to over here. See if we can find the word where they get that from. Where's Kad Kod in the Rishonim or whatever it is? Do they have a word that stands for that? I don't see anything over here. By the way, Carlos Shane over here, Mitsuda Siena, says Shane Hapil is referring to the elephant tusk.
No, I think Ramos is.
Oh, and that's where I got Ibex. Carlos, Hin Carlos or Yale Sela. He says the Yale Sela, the Ibex, and Shane Shall Pool. That's the Pil.
Our scroll doesn't even mention the Ibex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Marie Tara. So, do we have anything else that says cut code over here? Oh, I remember this word. Kav code is mentioned in the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan said, cut code with two cups. That's what you're referring to. Kav code with two cups is a Gemara in Sanhedrin around Kavyad, where it mentions that. Where Rabbi Yochanan was giving a shir, and he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring out these gems that are the size of doorways in the times of Mashiach. And one of the Talmidim got up and he said, it's impossible, there's no way that could be. And he went out to sea, and he saw these malachim that were taking stones out of the ocean, that were these huge, huge, like he called the katkod, that's the word in the Gemara. And he said, what are those for? And he said, they're for the doors of the Beis Hamikdash in the future. And he came back from the sea, and he went to Rabbi Yochanan, Lachana, Lidrosh, it's good for you to darshan. question because I saw it with my very own eyes. And Rabbi Yochanan looked at him and said, you didn't believe it until you saw it with your very own eyes? So he turned it into a pile of dust. One of the best endings of any story anywhere. But nonetheless, that's the word, kadkod, is
they
what it came over there.
Kill somebody at the end of those stories.
Yeah, there's only five stories. Dies. Only five stories where Rabbi Yochanan kills somebody, but they are awesome stories when he does. Anyway, and one of them he doesn't do it because Rish Lakish's son, he almost killed him, but he didn't. It's going tight.
No, he brought him back to life.
No. What person he brought back to life was Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, he brought him back to life, but he did kill him as well. That's true. I love Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, Pasuk Yitzayin, Yehuda Beretz Yisrael, Heim Aruch Layich. Yehuda and Bnei Yisrael, they're also, they were your merchandise of Bechite Minis. Is that wheat? What's Minis?
Yeah, wheat. No. From Minit.
From Minit?
Yeah.
I thought Minit is in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Upagag, a persenity, udivash, vashaman, and honey and oil, but sorry, and balm as well. Hold on a second. Nosumar Raveich, that's what they ended up doing. So that's interesting, by the way. The divash vashaman was considered part of Eretz Yisrael. I know shaman and divash, right, is what we're praised for, but it's interesting over there. Okay, anyway, I did hear, by the way, from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch quotes a professor in the Munich University in this week's Parsha. He quotes a professor from Munich that said, that the old, there was a scale that they used to use, and they called it the olive scale. And back in the day, everybody used Eretz Yisrael olives. And he says olives all came from Eretz Yisrael. Even the olives in Greece all came from Eretz Yisrael originally. It's indigenous to Eretz Yisrael and was brought to the other nations, right? And the size of an olive that was known at the time, he says, was all Eretz Yisrael olives. It was known as the... Yeah, that's what he said. That's what the Semitic professor said. And Rav Hirsch quotes it. Amazing. Absolutely crazy stuff. Anyway, Damascus, so Damascus, they were also your merchandise, Beruv Masayach, Meruv Kohon, because they had so much riches, Bein Helbon, white wine, the Tzemer Tzokar, and like this good wool, I guess, that they had. The Dun, I don't know what that is.
It's so funny because the article goes with wine from Sevron and white wool.
Okay, that's fine.
So,
no, I think that's no, Sochar, it says Lavan. White wool over here, Luban whitened. The Dun, the oven, wherever Dun was, remember this probably was not Shevet Dun. Shevet Dun was the name of an Avodah Zarah. So there is an Avodah Zarah by the name of Dun. The Yavan, Me'uzol, right? I wrote down over here that it's silk. That's what they're referring
fine
to?
Fine
yarn, I guess so, because silk wouldn't have been there. Bizonayach Masanu Barzel, they gave iron, Asos Kido, the Konas, that they can make spears and, you know, like whatever, Bamaravecha Yad, that's what they did. The Dun Rochatech, the Bigde Chofesh Lurichba, they used precious Begadim Lurichba that they used for riding and stuff like that. What else do they have? Arav, the Chomasi Kedor, here's your Arabs. Over here, and all the people of Kedar, Hemasopra Yadeich, they were merchandisers of the area, right? The Charim, the Elamatudim, they gave fattened sheep and rams and big sheep, Bam Sokharayach, that's where you had your deals, Rochle Shva, Sheba, the Rama, Hemarochlayach, they also dealt with you, Barosh Kobosim, they gave the summon, Bukhlevin Yakarin, precious stones, Zub Nasu Yizvonayach, and they gave gold. Wonder if there's gold in there. You said before that it was Yemen? You said Shva?
Yeah, that's what I read before.
Difficult that gold would have been out there. I didn't know there was an area of gold. I would have thought that's Africa. Haran, the Khane. Now, Haran, we know. Haran is, you know, from Avram Vinu's time, so around the Iran
Yemen
area.
Particularly wealthy. It's just the opposite.
Yeah. The Khane, Eden. Eden. Oh, Eden is a city that's in Babel, right? Really? Oh, that's funny. It's literally known as Eden Garden. It's in where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers
they
meet.
Spell with an A.
That's what they call it over there.
Eden, yeah.
Oh, they spell it. They pronounce it as
Eden. Yeah. Eden Garden, because that's where it is.
Because they say the four rivers, right? The four rivers. So they call it. It's just called Eden or Aden.
Well, wait, where do the rivers meet? The rivers. The meet of the Persian Gulf.
Right before the Persian Gulf, correct. Okay. Yeah, right in front. You'll see there's like that city, there's a city right there.
Basra.
In between the two.
Basra?
I think so. Even here, check it out if you can. Rochli Shva, these are...
Kentucky.
I'm sorry?
Went to Mormon, think I needed in Kentucky.
Yeah, they would think that. Rochli Shva, the merchandisers of Shiva. Ashur Kalmad Rochal Teich. Assyria Kilmad, I have over here, is Mead.
Yeah.
Rochal Teich, okay. Sam Rochlai B'machluin. Right there, your merchandisers with everything they do. The glomay tchelus berikmo begins in baromim and everything beautiful, right? The chavolim chavushim with ropes that are what's chavushim? What is that word over there?
Which is a quince?
Quince, yeah, but is that what it refers to here? They were peddlers and objects of perfection, and wraps of blue wool and embroidery, and treasures kept in chests, fastened with bands and cedar boxes.
Fastened, kabushin is in the verb, fastened with ropes. Okay, the aruzin, the markulteth. Markulteth is your merchandise. Aruzin, what's the last word? What do you say?
It was fastened with bands and cedar boxed for your
cedar
wares.
Boxed. Yeah. Okay, Va'aruza means cedar boxes for the merchandise. Okay, Anil Tarshish, Shorosayach Ma'aravech, the boats of Tarshish, your officers, they took as their arev, as their guarantees, but and they filled it up right, and they were honored very much in the heart of the seas. The Mayim Rabim, among many waters, have Yucha Ashatimosof, they brought you, have Yuch, they brought you Ashatimosof, those who swam to you. Ruach HaKadim, the eastern wind, Shavarech Belev Yamin, they broke you in the heart of the sea. The eastern wind is referring to Buchanetzer. Your riches and everything else you had was your guarantee. They took care of all of your cracks. All of your men of war, everybody that was among you, they all fell into the heart of the sea on the day that you went down. Did you find it yet? Do you see what I'm talking about?
I mean, yeah, Basra is the biggest city there. There's other ones like little villages.
And then the one second. Here. Maybe it's Abadan.
They know. The rivers meet from Basra.
Oh, yeah?
Like, here's the Tigris River.
Tigris River, I remember seeing, that's what they called it. They called it Eden. But you know what? Maybe it's not in this. But it was like a big city, because it had like a big thing right there.
The biggest city over there is Basra.
That's so funny. Okay. Maybe it's around here. Unkasar, Zubair. Is this how? Maybe do you have like an English one?
Well, that's a lot.
If you type in Aiden,
what? No.
Who would?
You didn't.
No, it would have been right here. I remember looking at the list. Where's my You know what? It might have been. You know that that map that they have of that they put that little white book that they have for beginners to Gemara.
Yeah.
They have like a map of Babel. It might have been in there. Maybe that's where I got it from. Maybe that I got it from. Believe me, I'll try to look that up.
Salah Aden, but that's the name for a person named Salah Aden.
No, it was Aden. There's no question. I saw the word Aden. The question is where now? Okay, Nunu. So now, we're on Tzchopchas. L'chol Zakas Choblayach. By the noise of the screams of the rope men, Yerashim Migrosho, all the coastal cities started thundering.
Aden,
sailors, okay. No, it said it in the I remember looking at it. I'm like, oh, Aden, right by the two rivers. I remember seeing that whole. The other man is seeing it. Sam Koltos and Mashot. They went down from their boats, all those who grabbed onto, you know, the people who dealt with these things. Malachim, Kolchol Belayam, the sailors, Allah Arjah Modu, they'll stand by the land. Yishmiel Alayach Bekolam, they're going to let it out with their voices. The Zakamar, they're going to cry out bitterly. The Abba Opera Hashem, they're going to put dirt upon their heads. But Aprius Balashu, they're going to roll around in the ashes. Be Kriq Alayach Korcha, they're going to tear their heads for you, you know, tear out their hair. If a chug was sack and wear sackcloth, dan sackcloth. Uboko alayt b'mar nefesh misbe mar, they're going to have a great hesped for you, a bitter hesped. That's why I be named Kina b'nihem. Is it b'nihem or b'nehem? Is that a mistake here? What do you guys have? Oh, no, b'nihem. With their groans, Kina, and they're going to lament b'konu alayt. Mi kitzor, who's like tzor, kiduim is a hayom. Right among them within the sea. B'tzeisiz v'nayach mi'am mispat amim rabim. So when you left all of your whatever you have in the seas, you satisfied many nations, I guess. They became rich because you no longer did it. Baruch v'nayach maravayach has shart malchiyaret. You made rich all the kings of the land. Eis nishperaz mi'am mi'amakeh mayim. At the time when it was broken from the seas and the depths of the water, maravayach, all of your guarantees, the chokal, like the silk and the follow, and all of your people died. Kol yishayim shamu alayach. All the people of the islands, they were desolate because of you. Malchim sharu shar ramu panim sharu sar. They were screaming ramu panim, and they thundered their faces. Sochorim ba'amim shorko alayach. They whistled about what happened to you. Balos hayis ve'enech adolam, and no longer are you forever. It makes sense, by the way. If Tzor went down, then a lot of these islands would have lost their ability to get stuff from the mainland. It could be that these people relied upon so many of the imports passports that they got from different places. Now that Tsur was gone, they had no way of getting news in.
Or like an island off the coast.
Yeah,
which means that if it went down,
like that happened,
all the smaller islands would have a problem.
Somebody else fills in.
Yeah, but it might have taken a little bit. There would have been starvation for a little bit or something that would have been bad for a little bit until somebody did take over. It seems that the other nations eventually, they were happy because eventually somebody took over, but you know that would have taken a while. All right, Chavkas is going to be talking about Hiram. I'm going to tell you a message about Hiram, but I'm probably not going to do it now because I only have about 6 minutes left, 7 minutes left. Let's go into the beginning of what happens to Hiram and go from there. Chavkas Alam, Idavar Shemelai, Lamel. Yeah. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
Okay. The word of God came to me saying, Ben Adam, Amor Lenegid Tzor, go tell the prince of Tzor, the king of Tzor, Komar Shem, looking at this, what God says, Yan Gavali B'chol, because you had Gaiva, but Tomer Eleni, and you said, I am a God. Moshe Avali Meshati, I sat on the throne of God, B'lev Yamim, in the midst of the sea, V'ata Adam Elo El, you are a human being, you are not a God. Batidin Libchol K'lev Elohim, you're gonna make your heart like the heart of a God, you are not a God. Hine Chokham Atzal, Mi Daniel, are you wiser than Daniel? It's amazing, isn't it? He wiser than Daniel. Stop for a second.
Daniel's?
When was this? Is this after the Korban Bias? Was Daniel already well known in Babel? How was he known? Now, we know that Daniel was a wise man.
How can he have that time?
But how would he have known? Were you wiser than Daniel? Who?
Here it says, Rashi, the question is meant sarcastically.
Daniel bought Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel to be a god.
Exactly. Daniel saw it, right? And did bow down to Daniel. Daniel said, no. Did they know that? Was Daniel known yet?
Maybe that story was known because if the king of Babel says, you're a god, I'm going to bow down to you, and you say no, that's like a big deal.
But that means this happened after that. Now, yeah. When did Daniel get that? You should know, when that happened, it was because of the thing of Thing of Lions was later on. It's because of what he translated in his dream. Okay. That's what he translated into Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I don't know when that happened. It could have happened early up in Nebuchadnezzar's reign. We don't know.
Right, but Nebuchadnezzar, right, so what?
Yeah, we don't know. I'm just saying. Kol Sakum Lo Amamuch, are all closed things not kept away from you? Are you able to tell all the secrets, like Daniel was able to tell secrets? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he didn't tell anyone the dream, and he said, tell me the dream and translate it for me. So everybody's like, that's impossible. We can't do that for you. But Daniel's like, I'll tell you the dream and I'll translate it for you. Do you have the revelations of those secrets that nobody else knows? The Chachmas of the Sunnaskal, with your wisdom and with your understanding, you made a lot of riches. But you took a lot of gold and silver in your treasuries. With all of your wisdom, with all of your trades, your Bisa, you made a lot. And that's why you had Gaiva Bechilecha Lachin Kol Marsham Lachin Yan Titchos Levavcha Kolevelin, because you think you're a god. Lachinini maybe Alecha Zorin Arite Goyim. I'm going to bring you strangers, strong men from other nations. Veiriko Harvosim Ayutichach Masecha. They're going to empty out their swords on the beauty of your wisdom. The Chulul Yafasecha. And they're going to profane everything you're trying to show off. Lashachas Yeriducha. They're going to bring you down to hell. Vamatim Mosechalol. And you will die the death of corpses, Belay Yamim, among the heart of the seas. Hamor Tomar Elohim Ani. Will you say that I am a god with Nehorgecha before those who kill you? You are human, you are not a god, and you will see it among the people that are going to profane you. Mose Arelim Tamus Biadzaran. Those who die of the Arelim, those who are not circumcised, they will die in the hands of strangers. Thus I say, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me saying this, Yecheskel, Ben Adam, Sakino Melotzor, I want you to make a lamentation for the king. And you should say about him, you signed the Tochnit regarding who is going to be so wise and who is going to be full of beauty. The Eden Ganalima Yisa, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Stop right there. According to Derech Eretz Zuta, Perek Aleph at the very end, Hiram Melech Tzur, Hiram the king of Tzur, went to Gan Eden alive. That's what it says.
Yeah, but Hiram would have to be like 1,000 years old.
No. Hiram Melech Tzur, he was alive right now. Oh, you mean the Hiram Melech Tzur from...
Is this Hiram was like Paro?
No, you're correct. It probably was just a title. But there was a Hiram Melech Tzur that was the king. We're talking about Hiram, by the way, but it probably was a different guy. He was not Jewish. So on that list in Derech Eretz Zuta, there were 6 people. There were 9 people mentioned. The 10th is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Out of them, 6 are technically not Jewish. like, you know, Seraphaz Usher is before Jews, right? We're dealing with people that,
which is from like
Ovid Melakushi, if Ovid Melakushi isn't Sidkio, right? But yeah, obviously there were connections, but we got and they went to Gan Eden alive. The ones that are out there.
Is it perfect? What is that?
I don't know what it means. It means they made their bodies into something a little bit more spiritual that allowed their bodies to be there.
So Sor had a king, you're
saying? Had a king, yeah. That was the original Hiram, the one that built the base of Mikdash.
And I once read a Midrash such as the thing Hiram, because of this, he lived for 2,000 years, but I understand his life, he thought he was greater than everybody else.
You know what? I'm going to stop right here for right now, because I do want to go through all this, and this Kina goes through a lot. I'm just going to tell you over the Midrash really quickly. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the Midrash really quickly, and we'll start off. I'm just going to say a little bit of it. Hiram Melech Tzur, according to the Medrash, was Hira Huadulami, who was the friend of Yehuda all the way back then. He lived the longest in Tanakh. He was 1,200 years old when he died. 1,200 is the years. Now, if you figure it out, it's 1,200 altogether from Yehuda all the way down to the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. That's how long he would have been altogether. You can figure it out, 800 plus 400, basically, right? 800 years, 850 years in the base of Mikdash, destroyed basically 400 when they went down to Mitzrayim. So it's around that time. Yeah, Hira and Hiram were the same person. If that's all true, and we're dealing with the exact same person, we're dealing with such a guy, he said, the Medrash says that he said about himself, I lived past all the great kings. I lived past the Shlokim. I lived past the kings. I lived past the Beis HaMikdash. That means I'm never going to die, and I'm going to live forever. And he built a massive palace, which we'll go into next week. I'll bring down the Medrash. And he built a massive palace, and he lived on the seventh floor of the palace in the Yam Suf. I don't think we mentioned Hiram, but I might have mentioned him before. In the
seventh floor of the Mount
Mediterranean, I said Yam Suf. Yeah, Yam. What do they call it? Yam HaDagon?
Seventh floor.
Yeah, no, he was supposed to be. Called Lamal Menetava. Yeah, like the Shabbos board. Right? With Malachi, he made his own Malachi. There's crazy stuff about what he did. And yet, Yechezkel told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do? I can't get up there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu again made him fly. Remember, Yechezkel is the flying guy. Brought him a cloud that made him fly, and he went up to him, and that's when he told him, you are so a human being, and you're going to die. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one who brought him down. And we're going to see what Nebuchadnezzar did, that he made him eat his own flesh every day until he died. That's what he did. He did something else as well. We'll get to that next time. That again is against this Medrash. Derek Arzuta says he went to get in alive.
He ended up going in with like a deformed, like who knows what.
No.
Pretty sure.
You'd assume that the same guy. If he's that guy, you think. Or it's a different Hiram. I mean, the Medrash says Hiram is Hiram. You know, it's all the same person. But it's, you know, it could be that it's a different person. But if it's not,
probably more probable.
Yeah, probably. But I will say that if it's not, and we're dealing with by far, Mr. Shalach was only 969. He would have been over 1,200 years old. He would have been the longest living person in all of Tanakh. We'll stop at this for right now.